So I'm sitting here now with Jean-François, and the workshop stopped a while ago. He had to hug and talk to a lot of his, let's say, a little bit disciples. So it was really nice. So what was your impression of the day?
First, I, you know, these days like that are completely unknown to me because I don't know what will emerge. I don't make too much plans. Like this morning, I really thought about what this day would be, but not before, because I want to go with the flow. So I came very vulnerable and went with the flow, and I've been blessed to see how people surrendered to the experience and jumped into trying things, and they didn't know where I was taking them, so there was really full trust and openness, mind openness. So I'm so happy about this day, yes.
Do you think for yourself the purpose was fulfilled, or wasn't there a purpose in the end?
I guess it really depends on which plane of being we talk about. So from the external plane, like the more conventional plane, yes, there was a purpose. It was a collective intelligence day. So we're not talking about shoes or or airplanes. So yes, and I named this purpose in the morning. If everyone can leave with a sense of more freedom at the end, individually and collectively, then I'll be happy. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, in my... you know, essential being, then there's no goal or no will to achieve something. It's just, you know, pure joy. And that's it.
So my personal question is also, pointed some questions down, but what is your personal motivation, your source of inspiration?
The being, the true being. It just flows from inside through joy, and things happen. It's the feeling also to be like sitting under the tree of knowledge. You know, like if I need to know something, I'll know it. It can just come as insights, or, you know, a book that I may open randomly at some page, or someone tells me something. But it always comes. It always converges. So I have that experience of a perfect flow all the time. And it's not that I need to know everything, it's just that things spring up from inside and then manifest. And it's probably my own way, my own art, is that I may have this easiness in feeling the unmanifested and bring some voice to that without agenda. It's just like, it's art, you know. Art is just you manifest the unmanifested, and that's it. That's all. There's nothing else than that. So I guess that's my way of doing that.
I observed you today. You're a really amazing presenter with a lot of experience. So maybe it sounds like a strange question, but what are your three wishes for our will? If you could have something that would be fulfilled for our will, or would you say it's already at a perfect state?
How we assess the state, again, is a matter of which plane we're talking about. So, of course, on the cosmic level, everything feels perfect. And it's just processes and transformation, and things fall into place. However, when I hear Aurovillians, and for the vast majority of those I met, and I've met many Aurovillians, they do experience a frustration about the gap between where their individual experience takes them, the vastness of their experience of consciousness and the being, and what builds up at the collective level, which does not seem to reflect on the everyday basis where they are individually. So the sum of the parts seems sometimes to be less than the sum. So, leading to wishes, I wish that people from Auroville learn social engineering. It's really about practice and tools. They're enablers. You know, I can have the best visions in the world for making a statue from marble, but if I don't have, you know, hammer and scissors It's going to take quite a while. Maybe I can do it with my spirit, but you know, hammer and scissors will help. So we can have the best wishes for Auroville as the next step in our species. But if we don't use tools, and we don't, if we don't master those tools, it might take, it might be very painful. And I see this pain operating today. So I would really pretty much appreciate that Aurovillians, many of them, want to build some expertise in social engineering, and that they also, so through this, through invisible architectures, that they learn how to speak from silence, for instance. If they bring up, you know, conventional conversations for their decision-making systems, then it's about, it goes into arguing, it goes into points of views against other point of views or with other point of views, but it just divides everything. If they speak from the divine, then it's playing divine music of true self. And then you don't oppose anymore with people. You propose. Something is going to weave with something else. You know, dreams are going to weave with one another. They don't need to be opposed. It looks very poetic or abstract if I say it this way, but I've seen collectives in the world who operate like that, and they're so powerful, and they're so much faster.
Mm-hmm. So maybe regarding that, what was your greatest experience in the last month? You said you already, it's your last week, right? Mm. In Auroville.
I can name two of them. One was a few days ago with the young people from Sadana Forest, sitting in a circle with them. Was quite a blessing. It was really, really beautiful for me. For the boldness, for the purity of the question they asked. You know, no politeness, no would you feel disturbed if I ask, or is it like intrusive? No, they were just asking very straightforward questions, and it went into very personal things, but truth, the truth of our being. So I really enjoyed those young people from all nationalities sitting and having this capacity to ask such questions, to listen so deeply and to share things in their insights. So that was one thing. The other thing is we did those dialogue circles six times in the past 2 weeks, and we had between 30 and 45 people depending on the days, and it really began with pain. We changed the architecture, you know, we had to breathe before talking. I mean, it was those six agreements, so different social codes, and it really began in a painful way because those six agreements are work like amplifiers. So if you come with your mental or if you come too emotional, it's just going to bounce back very, very hard. And this is what happened. But the last session, the one yesterday, they shifted. I could see big step, and I could really see that people speaking from the divine or offering their experiences, not being irritated anymore by some others' behaviors and so on. So I could really see a shift in just a few hours. So it was a blessing for me as well.
What we observed today was really that you set up your rules very, not only precisely, but also demanding, and you know in which kind of, you as an audience or even as a part of a group, you know how you can like act in there, but you still point it out. So it's good to put up the boundaries, and I guess that's also a part of that. And when you put up a code, it seems in the beginning probably also very very hard for the people coming in.
Yes, all of us, we usually operate from an automated pilot. So that's the easy part. You know, we have conversation and conventional conversation as we interrupt each other. We speak one after the other. We take the floor. If we change the social code, like let's decide we're going to breathe, okay, then we have to challenge our automated pilot and our belief system. And belief system is not just, you know, mental beliefs. Belief system is behaviors, is body posture, is the way we breathe, is some shapes I have in my body. Beliefs go very deeply. So when we start challenging those things and switching off the automated pilot, suddenly you have to to embrace and become conscious of so many things that you're not conscious usually. You're not conscious about them. And it's a tough exercise. For me, it's a fascinating exercise. Yeah. I love it, but for most people, they're not trained for that. So it's just like you're just, you know, sent on a sports field, you know, yeah. And you're asked to play, and you're going to get the ball in the head sometimes. That's the way it is.
Would you have been disturbed when I would have walked right through? Because you told us we can just stand up and just move around, mm-hmm. don't feel like in school, mm-hmm. the way you are educated. Mm-hmm. Would you have been like, because I was thinking about which way do I walk, because mm-hmm. I felt like walking. Mm-hmm. But I was like, I don't want to interrupt the group. And mm-hmm. I think that this would have happened in the end.
Well, personally, I wouldn't have felt disturbed, because I do that myself a lot, and especially in meeting rooms or things like that. I stand up. I don't like spending hours on a chair like a statue. And then about the group, it speaks to the group's irritability again. We're used to certain conventions, and if we break them, then we may feel irritated. And it invites our plasticity about the group, yes.
Okay. Yes. So do you think I forgot any questions? Is there something you want to add?
I feel very complete.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jean-François. And I wish you all the best and a good travel home.
Thank you.